So, how was Jagannath Darshan? So, you had a nice darshan of Lord Jagannath?
Yes.
And how was Jagannath Prasad? It looks like most of you are speechless. Very nice. So, I briefly mentioned about how King Indradumna wanted to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he got the information that the Lord is present here in this particular place. This place is known as Niladri Mountain, known as Purushottam Kshetra, the land of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land is also known as Shamshi. This place is also known as Shankha Kshetra. Shankha means conch shell. There is actually a conch shell, a huge conch shell, and that's like a mountain. That conch shell is like a mountain. And on top of the mountain is the temple of Lord Jagannath. That mountain now has become covered with sand. Therefore it looks like plain land. And the main thing is, with the passing of time, things change. The shape of this planet change. It looks like there is lots of mosquitoes. So, can you put some mosquito repellent here? Find out if they have some mosquito repellents, and also carry some liquid repellent and apply, because the mosquito bite can be quite dangerous. I mean, not only it gives malaria, it gives various other kinds of disease also. One is dengue. And things like that. So better to try to avoid mosquito bites. And so in this way, this land is known, and the ultimate consideration is that this land is non-different from the spiritual sky. When the Lord comes to perform His pastimes, He comes with His abode, Dham, Shiva Dham. So those places where the Lord performs His pastimes are spiritual abodes of the Lord. Like Ayodhya, Mathura, Dwarka, Purushottam Kshetra. This place is also known as Nilachal. Nil, the same thing. Niladri and Nilachal, same. Nil means blue and Achal means mountain. So Nilachal, Nilachal. So the Supreme, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is non-different from the spiritual sky. So we went to Vrindavan, where the Lord performed His pastimes as Sri Krishna. Then we came to Jagannath Puri, where the Lord performed His pastimes as Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, they are present here. We also are aware the next place that we'll go is Mayapur. That is the place of Sri Chaitanya. Krishna came as a devotee, and that is the Audarja Lila, the most munificent appearance of the Lord. So when King Indradumna got the information of Lord Jagannath from Vidyapati, he went and reported that he found Nilamadha. So the king naturally became very eager to see. But when he came here, he found that the deity is not there. So first he suspected that the Shavaras have hidden the Lord somewhere. So he tried to find out. He sieged the village of the Shavaras. And so when King Indradumna came, he found that the deities are not there, in the Nilamadhava is not there in the temple. And then finally he had a dream. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and informed him that he himself has disappeared. It's not that the Shavaras were hiding him. The Lord appeared to him that he himself has disappeared, not that the Shavaras were hiding him. And Indradumna won't be able to see him in his Nilamadha form. But he has appeared in the ocean in the form of a transcendental wood. And Indradumna can get a deity carved out of that wood. So King Indradumna immediately ran to the ocean and he found. So Krishna then appeared as a transcendental log. And so when Indradumna tried to get the log out of the water, he couldn't get the log out of the water. It was so heavy. He used his army, he used the elephants, the king couldn't lift the log out of the water, ocean water. But then finally he had a dream again, and he was instructed that if Vidyapati and Vishwavasu jointly lift the log, then the log will come out. So king instructed Vidyapati and Vishwavasu. Do you remember who is Vishwavasu? The king of the Shavaras, the leader of the Shavaras. And this time the log that couldn't have been lifted with the effort of thousands of soldiers and elephants and everything, now that log just easily came out. Just two persons holding the two ends of the log, and the log came out of the water. So the king arranged the best wood carvers, artists, to carve the deity, but nobody could even make a scratch, even a scratch on that wood. Again, another disappointment. So when the king was completely disheartened, no wood carver could actually carve the deity out of the wood. So then a very old man came and he introduced himself as Ananta Maharana, and he assured him that he would carve the deity out of the log. And the king agreed, and Ananta Maharana laid a few conditions that when he is working, he would work behind a closed door and no one should come inside the room when he is working. If one does, then he would leave the job. So the king agreed and the door was bolted, and the king could hear the sound of carving going on. So he had some assurance, oh, finally he is able to. And then after 15 days, the sound stopped. And naturally the king was in great anxiety. As it is, the person was very old, and he had his doubt whether he would be able to, and now he would be able to do that job. And now there is no sound. So out of acute anxiety, the king forgot his promise, and he opened the door. And he opened the door, he found that there are three apparently incomplete forms, and Ananta Maharana is not there. So the king became again very, very disappointed. And he not only felt disappointed, he felt very guilty that he broke his promise, and as a result of that, the deity of the Lord could not be completed. So, thinking that way, the king decided to give up his body fasting. So in this way, the king just sat without drinking, without eating, without sleeping. Then again, in a kind of a dream, the Lord appeared to him and assured him that, no, don't think that this is my incomplete form. I am present in this form in the spiritual sky. So you paint the deity, dress the deity, and decorate the deity, and worship. And that is Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Apparently it appears that because Ananta Maharana could not complete his job, that's why the deity was not fully manifest. No, this form is present even in the spiritual world. This is Lord's eternal form. In this form, he is present in Vrindavan. So that part of the story I told you this morning, how the Lord assumed his Jagannath form in Dwarka, when the queens were listening to Mother Rohini about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, and Krishna happened to just come there, and upon hearing his Vrindavan pastimes, he assumed this form. Also, at the time of the solar eclipse in Kurukshetra, when Krishna was about to leave after the solar eclipse, the residents of Vrindavan, the Brajabasis, came there and they saw Krishna after 100 years. And then Krishna assumed this form. This is his form of ecstasy. We can consider how that happens. For example, when you are happy, does your expressions change, your facial expressions? When you are sad, doesn't your face display that emotion? But this is a body made of gross matter. But still in this body there is different emotions make the body or the face change its expression. In mind it is even more prominent. When you are happy, how does your mind feel? When you are sad, how does your mind feel? Those feelings of the mind are more prominent. Now when the soul feels ecstasy, does that ecstasy display its in the form of that person? So what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When the Lord is so happy, that is Lord Jagannath. When the Lord is very angry, that's Lord Nrisingadev. So this is how the Lord's form change according to his feeling. So this is how we have to see Lord Jagannath. This is the form of his ecstasy. And why he is ecstatic? Because he is with his most intimate associates. He is with Srimati Radharani. He is seeing Srimati Radharani. So that is Lord Jagannath, and that's how we have to see Lord Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he left home. He actually left home at night. And without telling anyone, he went to Katwa to take sannyas from Kesha Bharati. And after taking sannyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. And he ran for Vrindavan. And some of his intimate associates like Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar Acharya, etc., also ran with him. Mahaprabhu ran for 3 days, non-stop. No stopping for eating, no stopping for drinking, no stopping for sleeping. But Nityananda Prabhu tricked him and misled him, and instead of taking him towards Vrindavan, he brought him towards Navadvip. And he told some cowherd boys that when a person comes and asks you whether this is Vrindavan, you should tell him, yes, yes, it's Vrindavan. So, sometimes Nityananda Prabhu may ask you to tell a lie. So, And that's what happened. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw some cowherd boys tending the cows. So the memory of Vrindavan came to his mind and he felt that he has arrived in Vrindavan. And he asked those cowherd boys and they said, yes, this is Vrindavan. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed, Nithananda, we arrived in Vrindavan. Nithananda nodded his head. So this is Jamuna. Nithananda Prabhu said, yes. And in the meantime, Nithananda Prabhu sent message to Advaita Acharya, which is just the other side of the Ganges. This side is called Kalna and that side is Shantipur, the Ganges. So he told Advaita Acharya that he is bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he should come with some dry clothes for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Advaita Acharya, according to his instruction, was coming. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran into the river Ganges, thinking it is Jamuna. And then he saw Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, how did you happen to be here? Advaita Acharya said, Nithananda sent me the message. Yes. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that he has been tricked. So he is very upset and he told Nithananda Prabhu, you lied to me. I wanted to go to Vrindavan and you brought me back to Shantipur. And Nithananda Prabhu said, I never lie. Wherever you are, there is Vrindavan. And Ganga and Jamuna, after converging in the confluence in Prayag, Jamuna is flowing on the left hand side and Ganga is flowing on the right hand side. So since this is the left hand side of the river, this is Jamuna. And this is how Nithananda Prabhu brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to Shantipur, the house of... So Advaita Acharya took them to his house. And he also sent the message that to Navadvip that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur. And upon receiving the news, all the residents of Navadvip just came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As it is, they were so heartbroken because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so dear to them. And all of a sudden, one day, he left and took sannyas. And those days when one took sannyas, that was the end of the connection with the family. They wouldn't see him again. So they felt that they will never be able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when they got this news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, so they all came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The only one who didn't come was Vishnu Priya Devi, because the wife doesn't meet the husband or husband doesn't meet the wife after taking sannyas. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, and the residents of Vrindavan, residents of Navadvip, got a chance to meet him again. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met his mother, Sachi Devi, Sachi Mata. And the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his sannyas was very pathetic. His mother was old, and he was the only male member. His wife Vishnupriya was so young. So leaving a young wife and old mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and took sannyas. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in that respect that when one becomes engaged in the service of the Lord, and if he leaves his family, old mother and wife, through these pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually made everyone feel confident that when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, then Krishna will take care of their family. After all, Krishna is taking care of everyone. So when one becomes engaged in serving him, why wouldn't he take care of his family members? So in order to teach us that lesson, in order to give us that assurance, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his sannyas pastimes in this way, leaving his old mother and young wife practically unprotected. He was the only member, only male member in the family. Jagannath Mishra left his body, his elder brother Vishwarup took sannyas even before that. So Sachi Mata and Vishnupriya Devi were just alone at home. The only person who was taking care of them was a servant whose name was Ishan. And so when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met his mother, he felt very guilty that he shouldn't have taken sannyas. And he told his mother, "Mother, I made a mistake leaving you alone at home, unprotected. I left home and I left you behind and took sannyas. So I made a mistake. So anyway, I'll give up my sannyas." Sachi Mata was such an ideal mother. She said, "No. Now that you have taken sannyas, you remain fixed up in that ashram. Otherwise, what will people say? Actually, giving up sannyas, there is an expression for the one who gives up sannyas, meaning after taking sannyas, goes back to his household. They are called bantasi. Bantasi means one who eats his own vomit. Isn't it disgusting? So that's how disgusting it is to give up on sannyas. And what to speak of the spiritual consequences? The spiritual consequences, it's something like going to hell when one takes sannyas and then goes back. But Sachimata informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or made one condition. He told him that you do one thing, you stay close by where I can get your informations. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to stay in Jagannath Puri. Because in Jagannath Puri, it's so close to Mayapur, Bengal, that people come from Bengal to Puri to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. That custom is prevalent since long, long time. And people from Jagannath Puri will also go to Bengal to see darshan, to get the darshan of Ganga, bathe in Ganga. So there is a possibility of communication so that Sachimata could get information about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to come to Jagannath Puri. After staying in Shantipur for a few days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Jagannath Puri. And there also some very beautiful pastimes took place. They came, on the way there is a river. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take bath in that river. And he gave the danda in custody of Jagadananda. And while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the bath, Nityananda Prabhu took Sanna's danda, and he had some very interesting conversation with danda. Danda literally means punishment. A sannyasi voluntarily accepts punishment because of his offense of leaving Krishna's shelter. He voluntarily takes the punishment. So Nityananda Prabhu told the danda, "Mr. Danda, who do you think you are?" Danda also is a stick that one carries, sannyasi carries. That the personality who is maintaining the whole universe, whole creation, he's going to carry you? Who do you think you are? And punishment? Why should he take any punishment? The consideration of punishment is when one leaves his shelter. So why should he take the punishment? Saying that, he broke the danda and threw it in the river. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came after taking his bath and asked for danda, his sannyas danda, then he was informed what Nityananda Prabhu had done. So Nityananda Prabhu was silent, didn't say anything, but Mahaprabhu told him, "What do you think? My sannyas, is it a joke? After sannyas I wanted to go to Vrindavan and you misled me, lying to me, lying to everybody else. You brought me back to Navadvip, Shantipur. And now my only possession, my only asset was this danda, and that also you broke and threw it away. I'm not going to be with you all. Saying that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just ran towards Jagannath Puri, towards the temple. Oh, there is another consideration. There are two types of sannyas. One is ekadandi sannyas, and the other is tridandi sannyas. Ekadandi sannyas is impersonal sannyas, mayavadi, the ones kind of sannyas that mayavadis accept. Now, apparently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Kesha Bharati, who was in the Shankaracharya's line, Mayavad line. But the Vaishnava sannyas is Tridandi sannyas, which indicates the body. Okay, Ekadandi sannyas is ultimately everything is one, right? Ultimately everything is Brahman. And the variety and form, the all this variegatedness is due to the material illusion, due to illusion. But ultimately, it's all Brahma, which is one without any variety. Whereas the Vaishnava sannyas is tridanda, indicating the body, mind and words are dedicated in serving and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu proved in this way, by breaking the danda, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take ekadanda sannyas, he took tridanda sannyas. His sannyas was not Mayavadi sannyas, but Vaishnava sannyas. So anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran and he came to Jagannath temple. And seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic that the guards of the temple thought that he was creating a disturbance, like a madman is creating disturbance. So they tried to stop him, and at the time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted. At that time Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was the Sabha Pandit, the scholar of the assembly, was there. Scholar of the king's assembly, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was renowned for his scholarship and learning, very, very exalted personality, he was there in the temple. And when he saw that this young sannyasi fainted, he came there and he checked him. And he was a great scholar, so he knew about different symptoms of ecstasy in due to the loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it seemed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious. When somebody is unconscious, one naturally feels that he is dead. So he was worried that did he die? But then he put some cotton wool in front of his nose and he saw the wool was gently moving. That means his breathing was still going on. So then he realized this is the highest ecstatic symptom. one faints in ecstasy. So he read that, but he never seen anyone display that these symptoms. So with his students and other help, Sarvam Bhattacharya took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. In the meantime, Nitanda Prabhu and others, they arrived in Jagannath Temple. And upon inquiring, they found out that Sarvam Bhattacharya has taken him. Yet there was a sannyasi who came and fainted in the temple, and Sarvam Bhattacharya has taken him to his house. So they had to go to Sarvam Bhattacharya's house. And on the way, they made an acquaintance. His name was Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya was another resident of Navadvip who actually came and took shelter of Jagannath Puri. He took Kshetra Sannyas. Gopinath Acharya didn't take Kshetra Sannyas. Sarvam Bhattacharya took Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means they remain in household life, but they take a vow of staying in a holy place and never to leave that place. Although they are apparently householder, but they are sannyasi. They don't leave the holy place. So, and Gopinath Acharya was surprised to see Nitanda Prabhu and Mukunda Datta and others. So he asked, "What happened? Why are you here?" And they described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, and he is in the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya. And Sarvam Bhattacharya happened to be the brother-in-law of Gopinath Acharya. So he took them to the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still unconscious. But when they started to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Mahaprabhu came back to his external senses. And Sarvam Bhattacharya made arrangements for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's accommodation and other devotees' accommodation and prasad. Sarvam Bhattacharya developed some affectionate attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And out of that affection, he felt some concern that this person is so young. He took sannyas at such a young age. And he's so handsome. And on top of everything, he is so sentimental. And so it will be difficult for him to maintain sannyas. So he decided that he would make him study Vedanta. And by teaching him the essence of Vedanta philosophy, he'll make him fixed up in his spiritual life, spiritual commitment. So Gopinath Acharya, again, sound is not there. Sunai nahi de raha hai piche. It's alright now? It's alright. Okay. Actually, the speaker acts whimsically. So Sarvam Bhattacharya and Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya told Sarvam Bhattacharya when he said that he is going to make him fixed up by giving him understanding of Vedanta philosophy. So Gopinath Acharya said, look, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is performing his pastimes. There is no consideration of him falling down from his sannyas order. So Sarvam Bhattacharya argumented that in the age of Kali there is no incarnation. Therefore the Lord is known as Trijuga. He appears in three ages, Satyayuga, Tretayuga and Dwaparyuga, but he doesn't come in Kali Yuga. But Gopinath Acharya pointed out that no, the Lord appears in all four yugas. But in the age of Kali, he comes hiding his identity. He comes as a devotee. And this devotee Krishna is this personality. So this way Sarvam Bhattacharya and Gopinath Acharya were debating about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out that Sarvam Bhattacharya wanted to teach him Vedanta philosophy in order to fix him in his sannyas order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yeah, that's wonderful. If he wants to teach me Vedanta for my benefit, that'll be wonderful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to study Vedanta under Sarvam Bhattacharya. So Sarvam Bhattacharya was explaining the different sutras, different aphorisms of Vedanta, and explaining. For 7 days he explained Vedanta philosophy to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for 7 days Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just listened without uttering a word. So then Sarvam Bhattacharya began to wonder, what's the matter? Is he understanding what I am saying? He's completely silent, doesn't say yes or no, no response. So he asked Krishna Chaitanya, do you understand what I am saying, what I am explaining? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand the sutras, but I do not understand your bhashya, your explanation. He said, strange. The explanation is to clarify the meaning of the sutra, and you are saying that you understand the sutra, but you don't understand the bhashya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, the sutras are clear like broad daylight, like the sun in broad daylight, sun in the day, as clear as that. But your explanations, your bhashyas are like cloud that is covering the sun. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to chastise Sarvam Bhattacharya. He was just 24 years old and Sarvam Bhattacharya was almost 70 years old at that time. And he just kept on telling him that all that you're saying in the name of explanation is nothing but nonsense. That's not the real meaning of Vedanta. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to explain a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And that verse goes like, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantho Bi Urukrame Kurvanti Ahaitukin Bhaktin Ittham Bhuta Guno Hori. So he asked him to explain that verse, and Sarvam Bhattacharya gave 18 different explanations. Then he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give his explanation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 64 different explanations without even touching what he said. And the basis of that Mahaprabhu's explanation was that Atmaram means the personalities who are experiencing the joy internally in their Atma. Atma Rama. Rama means enjoyment. Munayo, the great sages, great monists, great philosophers, great thinkers. And they are nirgrantha. Nirgrantha. Granthi means ties, knots. So they are completely free from all material bondage. Their heart is free from all knots of this material nature. Nirgrantha. Api, in spite of being totally free from all material attachments, those who have achieved the spiritual position, those who are situated in their spiritual position, becoming totally free from all material bondage, kurvanti ahaitukin bhakti, they render unconditional devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how wonderful the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ittham Bhuta Guna Hari. So, the point here is, he pointed out, that you are speaking about liberation being the goal of life. Mayavad philosophy is aspiring for liberation. Now, the people, the individual, the great exalted spiritual personalities who have already achieved liberation, even in spite of being liberated, they become engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Example, four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami. They all were liberated souls. But initially they were impersonalists, but then they became devotees. Therefore, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. Sarvam Bhattacharya was devastated. He was the greatest scholar of all time. And now he has been defeated by a 24-year-old boy. Totally heartbroken, he went to his room, bolted the door, and he was lamenting. Then, in the middle of the night, the whole room became lit with a beautiful light. And then he saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is standing there, displaying his six arms. First he saw that in his forearms he was holding the conch, disc, club and lotus, and two hands holding the danda, sannyas danda, and the water pot of a sannyasi. But then he saw in his forearms he was holding the bow and arrow of Lord Ramchandra. In his two arms he was holding the flute of Krishna, and with his other two arms he was holding the danda and kamandalu of the sannyasis, indicating the one who is Lord Ramchandra, he is Krishna and he is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvam Bhattacharya, recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who he is, as he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he worshipped Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 100 verses that he composed. He was such a brilliant personality, such a brilliant scholar, such a brilliant poet, that right there he actually composed 100 prayers. The first one goes like, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikhartham Ekah Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Jastamaham Prapadde. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikhartham Ekah Purusha Purana. Purusha Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to teach Vairagya Vidya, the science of renunciation, the process of renunciation, which is Nija Bhakti Yogam. The real renunciation is devotional service to Krishna. So Krishna himself came to teach the science of renunciation, which is his own devotional service. He appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. He appeared assuming the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kripam Budhirja, he is an ocean of mercy. Kripam Budhirja. Stamaham Prapadye, I surrender myself unto his lotus feet. So in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar of that time, although he was an impersonalist initially, became a devotee, became a very, very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, revealing his identity to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then Mahaprabhu's fame spread all over Orissa, all over Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu displayed his wonderful pastimes here. Many of the servants of Lord Jagannath became very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the king of Puri, King Pratap Rudra, became a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The king's employee, the governor of South India, Andhra Pradesh, Ramananda Roy, became a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his wonderful pastimes in Jagannath Puri. one of these days, maybe tomorrow or day after tomorrow, you'll visit all these places. The house of Sarvam Bhattacharya is still there, where Mahaprabhu had a discussion with him. Mahaprabhu's very intimate associate, Haridas Thakur, whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appointed as the Namacharya, he lived here in Jagannath Puri. He was so humble that he didn't come to the temple for darshan of Lord Jagannath. Because he was from the Muslim background, born in a Muslim family, he considered himself unqualified to enter into the temple. And he used to have the darshan of the chakra on top of the temple from a distance, and he used to offer his obeisances. And although he did not go to the temple, but Jagannath himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, used to come to give him darshan every day. And there are some very beautiful pastimes also. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he was brushing his teeth with the kadamba tree, kadamba branch. And he just planted it there and it became a tree. And that tree is still there. You can see it's so old that his inside has become all hollow. You can see that it's such an old temple, but it's still there. So, the Haridas Thakur used to live there under that tree. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami also stayed there. Sanatan Gassa Goswami, although he was a Brahmana, he was born in a Brahmana family, but because he had close association with the Muslims, he considered himself also unqualified to enter into the temple. And he didn't, not only that he didn't go to the temple, he would not go through the main road because the pujaris would be going by, and he was afraid that not only the touch of his body, but just by being in touch with his shadow, they can become contaminated. So this is how the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed humility. Trinadopi sunichena. And they displayed how to become more humble than a blade of grass. You have seen Lord Jagannath temple, and you saw the road in front of the temple. It's very wide. This road actually goes to Gundicha temple. During the Rath Yatra festival, the chariot moves. Like we have seen, even in the big streets, our Rath carts cannot go side by side. They go one behind the other. In New York, Fifth Avenue is a very wide street, but there also Rath moves that one behind the other. But here in Jagannath Puri, three chariots stand side by side, and then they move to Gundicha temple. Thousands upon thousands of people come to see Lord Jagannath, to pull Lord Jagannath in Jagannath's chariot. Now Jagannath's great devotee Srila Prabhupada started the chariot festival all over the world. And now in ISKCON, through ISKCON, more than 600, almost 700 Rath Yatra festivals are being conducted in all the major cities of the world. So, consider yourself very, very fortunate that you have the opportunity to come here, having the darshan of Lord Jagannath. And of course, as I said, the Western devotees cannot go to the temple. Doesn't matter, Sanatana Goswami also didn't go, Rupa Goswami didn't go, Haridas Thakur didn't go. Early days, when I used to come with many Western devotees to Jagannath Puri, I didn't go to the Jagannath temple also. Because I used to think that since the Western since our devotees cannot go, I also shouldn't go. But then one pujari of Lord Jagannath convinced me that I should go. So since then I'm going. But there are some temples you'll be able to go, like Alarnath. One of these days you'll go there. That's another very beautiful temple. During the Anavarshar period, before Lord Jagannath's chariot festival, for 15 days, Lord Jagannath doesn't come out. That period is called Anavarshar. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during that time used to go to Alarnath temple. Okay, so take full advantage of your stay in Jagannath Puri. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Take the mic.
When Sarvamoha Bhattacharya, he was like little bit argumentative, or he was not convinced that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Supreme Personality. So I was thinking, that is it an offense on his behalf? Like when we meet some great personality, if we act such way and we don't surrender to that personality, we are actually offensive in a way.
When you do that, it will be an offense. But when Sarvamoha Bhattacharya did that, it was not an offense because it was a part of his pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Okay, but you don't follow the act of Sarvamoha Bhattacharya.
How we can be in that situation, how we should act?
At least recognize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you have any doubt? Okay. And recognize his devotees as devotees. You don't have to think that the devotees are the Supreme Personality of God.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Yes. You have to hold the mic close and you have to speak a little more.
Is there any difference between Jagannath Yatra here and Yatra we do it in Auckland or anywhere else in the world?
Is there any difference between Jagannath here and Jagannath there?
No.
So similarly, it's all the same.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our mood is always to kind of serve Radhe Shyam, Radha Shyam Sundar. But I personally have good attachment with Lord Jagannath. And I understand that as devotees of Jagannath, we go to Vaikuntha, but to get into Goloka Vrindavan, we have to kind of not have that aishwarya.
No. Jagannath is Krishna himself. This Purushottam Kshetra is actually Kurukshetra. And from Kurukshetra, Jagannath is going to Vrindavan. So, we can consider that this temple is Dwarka, but Gundicha temple is Vrindavan. So Purushottam Kshetra has both aspect, Dwarka aspect and Vrindavan aspect. And developing attachment to Jagannath, one doesn't go to Vaikuntha. One goes to Vrindavan. And especially when he is following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, he was here. So when he went to Vrindavan?
When he went to Vrindavan? He went to Vrindavan, you see, for 6 years Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travelled. First he went to South India. And then he came back. Then he decided to go to Vrindavan. And on the way to Vrindavan, he went to Ramkeli, where he delivered Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, bestowed his mercy upon them. Then he went to the border of Bihar, border of Bengal and Bihar, in a place called Kanayan Nathshala. He went up to there, but because many people are following him, he decided not to go to Vrindavan in this way, with so many people following him. So he decided not to go to Vrindavan, came back to Jagannath Puri. And then he left for Vrindavan through the forest of Jharkhand, Madhya Pradesh. So this is how, through the forest path, he actually went to Vrindavan. All these pastimes took place within 6 years. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, you have mentioned about humility. So we can understand when we are with juniors and when we are with seniors. But my question is that how we can practice humility when we are living with our equals?
When you're with your... Well, you see, the humility doesn't have to be artificial thing. The relationships are going to be there and we'll act according to that relationship. And it has been pointed out, towards the superior there should be respect, shraddha. Towards the equal there should be friendship. And towards the juniors, there should be affection. So that is how one will deal. But that humility is actually the attitude of the heart. The heart should be humble. And with that humble heart, sometimes the seniors have to even chastise the junior when they make a mistake. But that doesn't mean that they are not being humble. Their act may not appear to be humble, but their general attitude is, their heart is humble. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So as you mentioned that we observe a lot of Rakshatra in various years. Yes, in a year, a lot of times we observe that Jagannath Rakshatra. So there is a conflict that in Jagannath Rakshatra happens in particular tithi. So they are telling that we are not observing on the particular tithi and we are doing in according to our way.
So okay, good. Srila Prabhupada is preaching all over the world. He started the preaching movement to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And a practical aspect is the principle. Utility is the principle. Now, will it be practical to hold Jagannath Chariot Festival all over the world on the same day? Right. So that's why Prabhupada just arranged, when it's practical, just do it. Another thing is that what does Jagannath want? Formality or devotion? Right. He is pleased that people are getting his darshan, becoming his devotees all over the world. That bidhi or formality is in another dimension. But rag, devotion with the practical application is in another dimension. Say for example, in the middle of, when the Jagannath festival takes place, actually in the middle of summer, and some parts of the world is the middle of winter, the roads are filled with ice. Will it be practical to hold Jagannath festival, chariot festival? So now the question is whether we are going to go through the formality of rules and regulations, or we are going to go through the practicality. So that's when different days of our festival is taking place. And the main point is, at least so far we have seen Jagannath is happy, that's why it's expanding. Right? And our point is, this movement has been established by Srila Prabhupada, and we just follow what Prabhupada did. We are not concerned about what the critics are saying. We are concerned about what Srila Prabhupada has said, what standard Srila Prabhupada established. We just follow that. And at the end of our life, we'll see whether Jagannath is pleased or not. And one thing I can tell you, the way the devotees of ISKCON are living their bodies, that is a clear indication that Krishna is pleased. Otherwise one cannot leave his body in this way. So many devotees are leaving their bodies, but you know, it's amazing the way they leave their body. When you leave your body with a smiling face, isn't that the proof? And you look at the devotees after they leave their body, you see the smile in their face. And the way they leave their body is amazing. Okay, so then we can maybe we can have a little kirtan. We don't have any song copies, but we'll sing a very simple song. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Shochiro Nandan Tribhuvana Karejar Charano Bandan. Nilachale Shankho Chakra Pada Padma Dharo Nodiya Nagore Dando Kamandalu Karo. Keho Vale Purabete Ravana Bodhila Golokero Vaibhav Lila Prakasha Korila. Shiradharo Bhabebe Goray Avatar Jai Gaur Shai Krishna Shai Jagannath. Vasudeva Ghosha Vale Kori Jaro Haas Jai Gaur Shai Krishna Shai Jagannath.